Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 26. Our topic for this session is the Last Supper. And the Last Supper has been confused by many through the centuries as being the Passover meal. We know that the Passover lamb was to be slain on the 14th of Nisan, between the evenings, or in the time of late afternoon, and that Jesus Christ, in this year, was the Passover. He was sacrificed at that time that Israel would have normally sacrificed a lamb unto God. Well, he is the true Lamb of God. So the Last Supper could not possibly be the Passover meal, and it's not called that in the Bible. It's called the Last Supper because this is the last time that Jesus Christ would eat with his followers. The confusion has come from something that we saw in our previous session in Matthew chapter 26, verse 19. It says, "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." Remember, this was something that occurred during Monday, the 12th of Nisan. Jesus had sent them into the city to make ready for them to eat the Passover. The reason for that was Jesus Christ did not yet know the timing of his death. And then what follows in verse 20 is where the confusion has come from. It says, "Now when the even was come," so this would be the beginning of the 13th of Nisan, sunset on our Monday, "when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." So this is the beginning of the Last Supper, and because people read verses 19 and 20, 21 together, they think that this was the Passover meal. Well, it's not. This is 2 days before they would have eaten the Passover meal. Another very significant distinction is that it says that Jesus Christ sat down. Well, the Passover meal, according to Exodus, was to be eaten standing up. So, you know, there's one distinction. Of course, just as you work God's word, there's many distinctions that shows that the Last Supper is not the Passover meal, which would have been eaten at the beginning of the 15th of Nisan. Look at John chapter 13. There's another very significant revelation given. It says in verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." So this is the time of the Passover. Gives important info, or the time of the Last Supper before the Passover. There's significant information here, is that now Jesus Christ knows the timing of his death. It says that Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father. So sometime between Monday, during the day when he made preparation to eat the Passover meal with his disciples, and now at the timing of the Last Supper, Jesus Christ knows the timing of his death. Look at Mark chapter 14. I think the predominant view amongst people that even take the time to read the Bible is that the Bible isn't accurate. And that there are discrepancies, say, between Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel, or Luke and John. They, you know, have little discrepancies between them because it's written, you know, from the mind of men. Well, the Bible declares itself to be the Word of God, all Scripture God breathed. And so it being the Word of God, it's got to fit together. It's perfect. And when you let, say, the Gospel of John speak, and you let the Gospel of Matthew speak, and then you see how they complement and build upon each other, then you get the true Word of God. But it takes some work. It takes some effort. In Mark chapter 14, it says in verse 17, and in the evening he comes with the 12. And this is to the Last Supper. In the evening of the beginning of the 13th of Nisan, in the evening, or what we would call Monday night, he comes with the 12. So the 12 apostles are present at the Last Supper, but it's not necessarily exclusive to the 12. It doesn't indicate that there couldn't be other disciples there. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Start reading in verse 14. It says, and when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, there's a more accurate translation of this that really puts this in focus. It says, with desire, I had desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. And that's the accurate translation. See, he had desired to eat the Passover meal. In fact, we saw that he sent Peter and John into the city to make preparation. Remember, they reserved a large upper room for that occasion. He had desired to eat the Passover meal with them, but now something's changed. Well, what's changed? Jesus Christ knows the timing of his death. In verse 16, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What would be fulfilled in the kingdom? His sufferings. What would be fulfilled would be his death, his purchase of all of us by his precious blood. So it says, I will not any more eat thereof. That's why this is called the Last Supper. This is the last time that he eats with his followers. It's the last recorded time that he eats at all. Because from this point on, after the Last Supper, begins the incredible sufferings that he goes through, and there's no record in the Bible of him eating at all until his death upon Calvary's tree. And then in verse 17, it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Again, this is why it's called the Last Supper. Look at Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, we're going to start reading in verse 18. It says, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eats with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? Boy, can you imagine that, sitting and eating this supper with Jesus Christ, And Jesus Christ says, one of you shall betray me. And so they're all like kind of doing this introspection thing. Is it me? And they come to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, are you talking about me? And he answered and said unto them, verse 20, it's one of the 12 that dips with me in the dish. So it's one of the 12 apostles. It's not any of the other disciples, but it's one of the 12 apostles that dips with me in the dish. Remember, it was the previous evening where Jesus Christ had had supper at the house of Simon the leper. And then afterwards, Jesus Christ goes, or Judas Iscariot goes, excuse me, not Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot goes and covenants with the chief priests and the captains to betray Jesus. So it's one of you that dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good word for that man if he had never been born. Man, talk about a condemnation on the life of Judas Iscariot. Man, oh man, how about Matthew chapter 26? Incredible things spoken of at this Last Supper. Matthew chapter 26, in verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Remember we had read, they all were, you know, they're kind of going around, coming to him, saying, Jesus, is it me? And then another one says, Jesus, is it me? Now Judas says it, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said, in other words, you said it, yep, it's you. Oh man, now there's not any indication necessarily that the other apostles or disciples present heard this or understood that it was Judas. But Jesus Christ does say very clearly to Judas Iscariot, it's you. And then it says in verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So one of the incredible things that was initiated at the Last Supper was the memorial of Holy Communion. Jesus Christ took of the cup, and he said, this is the New Testament, and my blood, the New Covenant. And he took the bread, and he broke it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. So this is a memorial of the New Covenant. The New Covenant is spoken of prophetically in Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's go to Jerry chapter 31. In verse 31, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. I'm in Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, the new covenant. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law where? In their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So this new covenant is memorialized by Holy Communion, which Jesus Christ initiated at the Last Supper. It's remembering what Jesus Christ has accomplished. It's remembering what his blood and his broken body purchased. It's remembering that he is our God and that we are his people, that he has put his spirit in our inward parts. Wonderful remembrance that Holy Communion should bring to mind. This is also spoken of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Jesus Christ initiated this at the time of the Last Supper. Well, 1 Corinthians 11 looks back on that and gives us further details about the Last Supper. It says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed," this is Monday night, the beginning of the 13th of Nisan, this is the time of the Last Supper, "on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Now, this tells us what we're to do, and this tells us that the bread represents Jesus Christ's body, but this does not tell us why his body was broken. To get to that truth, you have to go to other scriptures where it says that by his stripes, in other words, the price that he paid with his body, that by his stripes we were healed. So when we receive communion, which Jesus Christ initiated at the time of the Last Supper, when we receive the bread, it's literally eating health unto our bodies because of what he accomplished, what we're remembering. "After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" Remembering the new covenant in my blood, in the blood of Jesus Christ. "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You do show forth what Jesus Christ accomplished when he died on Calvary's tree. "And until he come," all the way until the gathering together. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Certainly, when you come to the communion table, you don't want to eat and drink unworthily. This is part of the problem at Corinth. They were using it as time to party, time to, drink and, eat. And instead of remembering the Lord, they were just degrading the Lord. "But let a man examine himself," verse 28, "and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Well, the positive side of this is that we can and do discern the Lord's body, that we do understand what the body represents, that we do eat in remembrance of Jesus Christ, that we do drink the cup, remembering what his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. But the church at Corinth was not doing that. And it says as a result, verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many die." Man, you talk about consequence, about eating damnation or judgment unto yourself. How about that one? Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Man, oh man. How significant are the events of the Last Supper, huh? Jesus Christ says that one of you are going to betray me. He initiates the memorial of Holy Communion at the Last Supper. John chapter 13 goes on to say in verse 2, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments," this would be his, you know, outer robe, you know, he's still in his tunic, "and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he pours water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." You know, this was a job in the Eastern household of the lowest servant. Was, you know, people would oftentimes travel and their feet would get dusty. You know, they're wearing sandals and their feet would get dusty from the journey. And so when they come into somebody's house, the lowest servant would have the job of washing their feet. Well, that's what Jesus Christ is doing to his disciples. He's washing their feet. "Then comes he to Simon Peter, and Peter says unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" It's a question in the King James, but really this reads, "Lord, you aren't going to wash my feet." You know, Peter says, "Man, this is my Lord. He's not going to wash my feet." "Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." In other words, Peter, you know, you don't really understand at this time what I'm doing, but you're going to understand this later. "Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Boy, Peter had zeal. Peter had conviction. Peter at times was really right on, but not here. He said, "Lord, you're never going to wash my feet." Well, Jesus retorts, "Hey, I don't wash your feet. You got no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Wash me all." Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." See, a person would be clean in the East from bathing, from, you know, keeping their body clean. But then when they would travel, the only part that would get a little dusty would be their feet. So they wash their feet when they come into somebody's home. But here, Jesus Christ takes this truth and likens it to one of them not being clean and not being clean spiritually. Of course, referring to Judas Iscariot. You know, the rest of the disciples, "Ye are clean, but not all. One of you is going to betray me." "For he knew who should betray him. Therefore," said he, "ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you." What Jesus Christ is doing is he's giving an object lesson of Christian service. You know, as said one time, Christians ought to be foot washers, not mudslingers. How about that? You know, we're involved in Christian service. More concerned about others' well-being than we are about our own. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." You know, now, these are words that we should believe. These are words that we should take to heart. Jesus Christ is our example of one that was a foot washer. That's what we should be involved with day by day. And the Word of God promises in verse 17 that you're going to be happy. You're going to be blessed if you do it. So oftentimes the reason Christians are unhappy is because they're all self-centered. Instead of being more concerned about blessing others and serving others, being foot washers, they're all concerned about themselves and what they can get out of it. Well, that's not the love of God. In verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eats bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. You know, Jesus Christ had chosen Judas Iscariot. He knew that. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, Judas Iscariot is going to lift up his heel against Jesus Christ. Now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Boy, oh boy. You know, Jesus Christ has sent us, even in, you know, the year 2011, he has sent us into the world. And boy, when people receive us, you know what? They're receiving Christ. And when they receive us and Jesus Christ, they're receiving the Father, God, who hath sent us. What a great truth. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Now it doesn't specify in John chapter 13 who this disciple whom Jesus loved was, but very possibly it's Lazarus. It tells, we've read before that the 12 apostles were present at the Last Supper, but it's not exclusive to them. Lazarus is called in other places the disciple whom Jesus Christ loved. But anyway, this disciple is leaning on Jesus' bosom. Verse 24, Simon Peter therefore beckoned him to whoever this disciple was, possibly Lazarus, he beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, for the host of a meal to dip the sop and then give it to a guest, it was an honor. So Jesus Christ is honoring Judas Iscariot. But he's also said that the one who's going to betray me is the one to whom I give the sop. And he gave it to Judas Iscariot. And after the sop, verse 27, Satan entered into him. We saw previously that Satan was the influence of him going and making the agreement with the chief priests and captain to betray Jesus. Now again, Judas Iscariot's actions are attributed to Satan, because it says, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Man, those are sad words. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. And some of them thought because Judas had the bag, you know, that Judas was the treasurer of the group with the bag of money, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things which we have need of against the feast. See, again, further indication, this is not the Passover meal. This is simply the Last Supper on Monday night, the 13th of Nisan. But some thought that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things which you have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was what night. Boy, those three words are, you know, very compelling, you know, very dark words. It was night. This is the dark night of the soul, where one of Jesus' 12 apostles has gone out from the Last Supper to betray him. So the events are unfolding very rapidly here. What wonderful things are spoken of here at the Last Supper. Jesus Christ giving a tremendous lesson on Christian service. In our next session, we'll pick up and see some more of the events of this Last Supper on the beginning of the 13th of Nisan.